today with great hope because of the salvation given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross and the forgiveness of sins that we find there. Hope that you've taken this time to focus your mind on that, to remind you as you begin this week who you live for and who died for you. You know, we also need to remember that today we walk with great ability because of all the many physical blessings that God has showered down upon us. This morning we're blessed to worship in this beautiful building. We have a very functional facility that gives us great opportunities to serve the Lord in our community. We are blessed with many material blessings as individuals in this congregation as well. And as a result, we must ask ourselves, what are we going to do with these blessings? These blessings are given to us by God, but they are not free. There is great responsibility given by God to us as a result of these blessings. I think if any of us take time, I think in a society where we are so inundated with possessions and material goods and we are blessed beyond what we can even begin to think or imagine by God physically, I think sometimes we take for granted all that we have and we forget who gave it to us. And we forget to give back as we should. Matthew chapter 11 in verses 20 through 24 says that Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of His miracles were done because they did not repent. He said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Now, Jesus is not just recklessly throwing down condemnation upon these cities, these three cities, but instead He's trying to get them to understand something, trying to get us to understand something as well. That these cities, Capernaum being the predominant city where Jesus did most of His ministry, these cities of the Galilean area where most of Jesus' ministry took place, having seen Jesus, having heard Jesus, having seen the miracles that Jesus performed, wasn't just a good thing, it equated to a great responsibility. And God was going to hold them accountable one day. See, Sodom didn't get to see Jesus Christ. They didn't get to see His miracles. They didn't get to see all the things and hear all the things He did. So they weren't going to be held accountable like Capernaum was going to be. And in the judgment day, it was going to be worse on Capernaum than even Sodom. He says if Sodom had seen these things, they'd still be here today. If Tyre and Sidon had seen the things that Jesus did in Chorazin and Bethsaida, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. It was a great responsibility to see Jesus. Luke chapter 11, verses 31 through 32, Jesus continues His thought and says, "The queen of the south will rise up with men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, someone greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." See, Jesus says the queen of the south, she sought Solomon because he was known to be a great wise man. And she one day, He says, is going to stand up because she went and sought the wisdom of Solomon. But you had something greater than Solomon. And you don't seek it. It was a responsibility they should have taken hold of. He says the Ninevites, who heard the preaching of a man who hated them, a man who pouted because they repented, a man who was unhappy because they did what was right. He wanted them to be destroyed. He says, they listened to the preaching of a man who hated them and repented, and you have someone that loves you and you won't. And they're going to stand up one day and condemn you because you do not take responsibility for what you've been given. The opportunity. My friends, I wonder, will the brethren in Ghana, will the brethren in India or in China, will they stand up one day and condemn us? For if they had had all that we had, oh, what they would have done with the gospel. What they would have given to God. If the brethren in China had the freedoms we have of religion, instead of having their legs broken for printing Bibles, will they stand up and condemn us because we do not fully use the blessings that God has bestowed upon us? In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." That if we have been given much, and indeed we certainly have, then we should know that God expects much from us. Psalm 24 and 1 says, "The earth is the Lord and all it, Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Everything you have is the Lord's." And we have been given it. Not, He didn't give it to us for us. And that's one thing we need to get out of our minds. God did not give us the things that He has given us for us. He gave us the things that He has given us that we might bring honor and glory to Him with them. That we might truly show Him our thanksgiving by how we use those things that He has given us. These blessings have given us the ability to do great things for the Lord. And we must remember that we are simply stewards placed in charge of the Master's goods. God has asked us to give back to Him on the first day of the week in thanksgiving for all that He has given to us. My friends, it's a great responsibility. It's something not to be taken lightly, but something that is done because you have reflected upon all the great blessings that you have, as the song says, "Sat down and counted your many blessings. Name them one by one." Do that sometimes. I hope you have a good long day, because it will take a while. But you've thought about it. You've taken time to thank God. Now you want to thank Him in action. We now come to the opportunity that we have each week to express our love and thankfulness for His blessings that He has bountifully bestowed upon us. And this is one of those times where we think about our investments. Are our treasures here? Do I want to hang on to it where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal? Or do I want to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal, and it lasts for eternity, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. You have the great opportunity to give to the Lord and to His work. And may we do so cheerfully and generously, remembering that we walk with great ability and with great opportunity because of the bountiful blessings of the Lord. We'll now sing a song of thanksgiving to God. And after that song, we'll have a prayer, and then we will have an opportunity to give back to the God that has given us more than we can imagine. If you would, mark your songbooks. Song number 714. 714 will be our song of encouragement in just a few moments. We've seen this morning that we live and walk with great hope in our salvation. We live and walk with great ability because of the physical blessings that Christ has given to us. And now I want us to think about that both of those have been given to us, both the hope of salvation and our physical blessings, that we might be people who live and walk with great purpose. That we have great purpose in what our function is, in to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and to a dying world. We've been given salvation so that we may be the family of God. And we've been given that great means by which we as the family of God may be able to accomplish our God-given role in this world of bringing people to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth with the purpose of not to be served, but to seek and to save that which is lost. And our purpose must be His purpose if we are to wear the name Christian. If we are to be Christ-like, we are to grow into Him, with Him on our lives. We live today and walk today with great purpose because of all these blessings, both material and spiritual, and have a great purpose. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, rather than Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring light, and bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence access through faith in Him. The manifold wisdom of God, that which God has had in His mind from the very beginning, that which was hidden for so long but was revealed in Jesus Christ, is to be revealed to this world through us. We have been given the greatest task in this world. We have been given a task. We have been given a responsibility and a job by the Creator of the universe. You know, when our boss at work tells us that we need to do something, we do it. Because we know that if we don't, He's going to punish us in some way, maybe fire us. My friends, we have been given a job by the Creator, and sometimes we ignore it. By the one who made us. By the one who spoke the universe into existence. May we never become deaf to His command. Timothy, Paul told young Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:15, that the church of the living God is the pillar and the support of the truth. Truth comes from here as we take it from God's Word and give it to others. And if it isn't going to come from us, where is it going to come from? We're not going to live lives of purpose today. We're not going to tell somebody about Christ today. What purpose have we in this world? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 tells us that that truth is the power of God unto salvation. And the people that you see on a daily basis, the people that you see walking down the street, the people that are in your office, the people that you see in the store, so many of them are lost and need the power of God unto salvation. What are we doing? Are we living up to our purpose? Are we living up to the reasons that God has given us so very much? Jesus Christ, before He ascended, gave the disciples the great commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're also given the commission in Matthew chapter 28, the responsibility that once we have brought them to Christ, then we have the responsibility to continue on teaching, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. We have great purpose in this world. Any Christian that says, I don't know what I need to do, I wonder, have you looked? I promise you, we're not lacking for help. We're not lacking for need of help. We can do that for the right. We need everybody. And I've never been in a church where we had too many people wanting to serve. May it would be a blessing if we were there. Maybe we're toward that. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And that's not just me, my friends. It's every one of us. And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. You want to have beautiful feet?
take this morning. Now some people go, Peter, just the ugliest things in the world. Beautiful feet. And I talk to young men, we have preaching camp, I go, man, you want to have beautiful feet? They look at me like crazy. We want to have beautiful feet that we rush to take tidings, good tidings of Christ. And that you don't have to be lost, and that you don't have to go to hell, but that you can be saved. So the gospel is positive. It's avoiding the negative. The negative is being lost. It's good news to those without Christ. He goes, however, they did not heed, all heed the good news. As Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So, we have this great purpose of making sure people hear. So that they can have the opportunity to have the faith that will enable them to come to Christ in obedience and be saved. We are called to tell people about how to call upon the name of the Lord so that they can, and by according to what Romans chapter 10 here says, they can be saved. We bring that good news. That is why we are all here today. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, a man who did it all, saw it all, and had it all. Look back at his life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he was the most powerful man of his day. He had everything. He had too many wives. He had all kinds of wealth. He was the Bill Gates of his day. And he looked back at his life at the end. He said, what a waste. I am nothing. I've built cities. I've had great wealth. It is worthless. It doesn't mean anything. He said, I'm going to die, and someone else is going to take all that stuff, and I don't know what they're going to do with it. So it's worthless to me. It doesn't mean anything. There's no pockets in the shroud, right? You can't take it with you. It's not like the old story about the man who told his wife, and I die, I put all my riches in the attic so I can take it with me, right? After he died, she went up there, and it's still there. She said, I knew I should have put it in the basement. Someone else is going to take whatever you have upon this earth, the physical stuff, and they're going to do with what they want. And so don't cling to that. That's not going to do you any good. You know, Sam Walton and one day Bill Gates and every other rich person that's ever lived is going to be on their deathbed, and all the money in the world is going to help them get that. And it isn't going to keep them alive. All men are God. You know, we are to plant, we are to plant. And then behold the glory of God giving the increase as He will. We are to let our light shine that others will glorify the Father in heaven. We have a great purpose, and we have been supplied with incredible means to carry out that purpose. God didn't say, I want you to do this, but I'm not going to give you any way to do it. I'm not going to provide you. He's given us everything we need and more to carry out our purpose. If only we will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul writes to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing that you do for the Lord is ever wasted. And I've heard brethren go, well, I did this and nobody came, or just a handful of people came, and I'm so discouraged. Don't you understand that that's not a bad thing? If you have one person come and you help their life get closer to Christ, you've accomplished great things. Amen. My friends, if I preach for another 30 years, and I pray that I will, I preach for another 30 years and never have another response, I will keep on preaching. Because whether anybody comes forward or not, or anybody responds to me or not, or responds to the gospel in any shape, fashion, or form as a result of what I'm doing, is not the issue. It is that God is glorified and honored, and I have obeyed Him. It is not about what others do when it comes to your life. It's about what you do. Others make their own choice. Jeremiah preached to a crowd that wouldn't respond. Ezekiel preached to a crowd that would respond. But it's not about that. We do what we do as children of God, as the Lord's church, because it is what God wants us to do. Not because it somehow strokes my ego or makes me feel better. but because I know God is on my mind. May we always know that nothing we do for the Lord is in vain, but that He is on glorified. The purposes of God are accomplished in this world with our energy. They are accomplished in this world with our time. It is not accomplished with our wishful thinking, or with our hopes of, or maybe one day's. Remember, there is no tomorrow. And it doesn't matter what you did in the past, what you're doing today. Because you'll never save a person yesterday. You'll only save a person today. You're not guaranteed to talk to anybody anymore. So those purposes are accomplished with our energy, our time, our money, our faith, and our devotion to God. So many people want purpose in their lives. I hear that all the time. I read about that all the time. They're looking for purpose in their lives. And yet they fail to find the purpose that will truly change their lives. The purpose for which all their blessings exist. The purpose for which they were put here on this earth to accomplish the purpose of God. Saving the lost. This morning, you are blessed with the opportunity to believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are blessed with the opportunity, as our invitation song says, to trust, which is another word for faith. To trust and obey Jesus Christ. To trust that He'll do everything that He has said that He will do. Hebrews says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him, but he that comes to God must believe that He is. That He's a rewarder. Do you trust that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? Trust and obey. You have that opportunity this morning. Hebrews chapter 3 says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't be hardened this morning. Don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't believe that this world has anything to offer for you. Only know that God offers all that you need. He will give you all that is necessary to find eternal life. Today, now, is the time of salvation. It is time to trust in God, to obey Him, and to know the reason in your life, the real reason of a season of thanksgiving in your life is that you have Jesus Christ there. And that you have salvation. And that He has given you eternal life. My friends, I don't know how a person can go through the day and not be sure of where they're going to be when they die. Because life is so precarious, it's so short, so quick to end. If you're not a child of God this morning, we hope and pray with all that is within us that you make the decision to come to Christ. To believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be buried in baptism. Raised to walk a new life with a reason to be thankful every second. To be thankful that I do not have to be lost, that I do not have to pay the price for my stupid decisions, for my moments of reckless judgment. But that God has washed those away in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God this morning, maybe you haven't been walking today. Maybe you haven't been walking with purpose. Maybe you haven't been walking with hope because you have forgotten what this life is about. That it's not about the things we have. It's not about the world we live in. It's about the Christ we dwell in. It's about His church. It's about being faithful, giving of ourselves to Him because He's given more than we'll ever give. You can give every penny you'll ever make the rest of your life. You can give every ounce of energy. And you will still come up with it. There's a term in people's financial debt that they are in perpetual debt. My friends, that's us. It doesn't matter how much we give, God gives you. So thanksgiving is a never-ending process. Again, we'll talk about God. And showing Him, I love Him. If we can assist you in any way this morning, we're coming to Christ. Won't you bless us as we stand in business?